May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 789. 789. O ye sons of men, be wise. Trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. Hymn 789.
Thank you. May it please Almighty God to bless our souls as we read from his holy word. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and we'll read chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke and reading chapter 10. So Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way, and enter and into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, he shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the labourer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to bear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. He said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbour? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, may God instruct us from his holy word and help us to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed, ever gracious, long-suffering, merciful and holy God, the one who ever was and is and ever will be, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, Lord, we come as unworthy sinners, to bow before thee in prayer at this time, and pray, gracious God, that thou would look upon us, thou would be mindful of us, and Lord, that as we gathered for worship on this Lord's Day, that it may prove to be a blessing of eternal good for our eternal souls. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we may not leave today empty-handed, But we pray, Lord, that perhaps we may have come here this morning with that expression, how barren is my soul today. But Lord, we're thankful. We have a compassionate God. And we pray, Lord, if there are such, that thou would look upon us and grant, Lord, the entering in of thy Spirit to our very souls, so that we may go on our way rejoicing in what Christ has done, rejoicing in thy great work of salvation, in rejoicing in that little hope which thou hast given us. So, gracious God, we pray, thou be mindful of us, and help us, Lord, to be truly mindful of thee. Lord, we're grateful that there is a building provided where we can gather together to worship. But Lord, we come and recognize, what is the place to me unless the Master I can see? We pray, gracious God, that even today the blessed Saviour will come and reveal himself unto us as thou hast not unto the world. O Lord, we pray therefore that it may be a day of blessing. Lord, we can't claim any virtue. We can't demand any blessing. But we would come praying and pleading thou would remember us each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit our souls with thy salvation. We pray, Lord, today that we may be concerned, each one, about our individual state, about the health of our never-dying soul, and, Lord, that we may be kept from a wandering mind. Lord, we know how evil Satan is and how keen he is to distract us, and how often he's very successful. But we pray, Lord, today he may be unsuccessful. And we pray, therefore, that the blessed Spirit of God may descend into our midst, and, Lord, that we may be therefore numbered amongst those who are called the true worshippers, who worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord, leave us not to mock thee today. Let us not, Lord, pretend to be what we're not. But yet, Lord, may we also be able to confess what we are by the grace of God. So, Lord, we come this morning thankful for the privilege we have, for the liberty we have, for the freedom that we have. Lord, as we think in the world today, how many countries and areas there are where freedom of religion is not permitted. And Lord, how blessed we are. And we pray, gracious God, that these wonderful favours may be continued to us down to the end of time. We're very aware, Lord, that there are many who would desire to stop the preaching of the word, to stop the reading of the word of God, to stop conversations about the great truths of God. And we pray, Lord, that those who endeavour to bring this about may be put down, and, Lord, may have their mouth shut and not be able to say such evil things. Lord, we're thankful we have a great God. We're thankful we have a God who controls the hearts and minds of every person. Those who may appear very stubborn and very evil in their desires, we know, Lord, thou art in control. And so we pray in this day and age in which we live still, we may be blessed with liberty. And Lord, may these liberties be wonderfully used for our soul's eternal good. Lord, let us not be satisfied with just an outward performance of religion. But Lord, may we know what it is to experience in a personal way thy love toward us, thy grace toward us, thy favour toward us, so that we have the evidence that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in answer to that great question Is it well with our soul to be able to say, it is well? Oh Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit may therefore descend into our midst today. Lord, we're not worthy of it. We don't deserve it, but we can pray for it. And Lord, thou hast told us, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. And so we pray that maybe that unity of spirit today, inquiring that thou would look upon us and bless us. And surely this comes down, Lord, to the great and glorious truth that Christ must be exalted and sinners laid low. And sinners rejoice in the great and glorious work of the Saviour. So, Lord, remember us each for good. Remember each one from the youngest to the oldest. O Lord, to come and touch our hearts. Lord, we're often hard-hearted, sometimes rebellious. But now we pray that we'll come, Lord, and take possession of our hearts and minds. And so be with us each. We would think of the many who are not able to be here today. We think of those who are not well, those who are ill, Lord, be with and bless them. We especially think of Benji, Lord, in his present situation. We pray that will heal him soon so that he may be able to once again gather here and take his place in worship. But Lord, each one who is not here, we commend them to thee and pray, Lord, that wherever they are, thou wilt condescend to come and touch their hearts. And Lord, we think again of this village of Swavesey. And we pray, Lord, there may be a mighty work done. There may be many people, young and old, who may be influenced by thy Holy Spirit to come and worship here and in worshipping find rest for their souls. Oh Lord, surely this is the great aim of our time of worship, not to just fill the chapel, but Lord, to be blessed indeed. So, gracious God, we pray that we remember each one. And there may be some, Lord, in his special need that we know nothing about. We pray, Lord, that that need may be granted and they will come and do us good. Lord, we look at the wider scene, we look at the world scene, we look at our national scene. Lord, when we think of our national scene with the general election in the coming week, Lord, we pray that thy will may be done here. Lord, we look around at all the candidates and we see how much influence they've imbibed from evil. And Lord, we know not what to think, but Lord, thou knowest. And we're thankful there are just a very few who we believe do fear thy name. And we pray, Lord, there may be a wonderful influence in our parliament. Lord, those who've been very much against the truth of God, Lord, may they not be re-elected. And those, Lord, who perhaps are fearful and yet desire to do that which is right, we pray, Lord, that such may be elected. And we pray, if it could be thy will, thou would have mercy upon our nation. Lord, we recognise to a large extent we've turned our back upon thee. We've said in our words and our actions, we would not have this man to reign over us. But Lord, we know there have been times in the past when this has been so, and thou hast graciously sent down the blessing. And so, Lord, let us not give up. Let us not be faint-hearted. Let us pray earnestly that thou wilt revive us again. Lord, just as the psalmist desired, wilt not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. So, Lord, hear us when we pray for these things. Gracious God, we pray now thou wilt remember us for good. Remember the Sunday school. Bless the children and young people. O Lord, may thy word enter into their hearts while they're young. For Lord, we know that none are too young to receive thy word. Oh, Lord, do work powerfully, we pray. And Lord, each one we pray for today, those who are old, those who are grey-headed, perhaps are those who know thee not, who worship for many years and never heard the gospel. Oh, Lord, we pray that none may settle down short of the knowledge that thou art their Saviour. Oh, gracious God, come, we pray, quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ or else I die. Hear us then, gracious God, when we pray for these things, and do us good. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 790, 790. A saint there was in days of old, though we but little of him hear, in honour high of whom is told a short but an effectual prayer. This prayer, my brethren, let us view and try if we can pray so too. Hymn 790.
May Almighty God be pleased to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his holy word. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 10, and we'll read the last paragraph, really, the last five verses, from verse 38. It's about Martha and Mary. So Luke chapter 10, from verse 38, we'll read. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she come, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. It is really very wonderful that God in his amazing love and wisdom has given us a record of so many situations. And we're thankful that he's left for us on record this little account of Martha and Mary, and especially when they first entered into the scriptures. There are other places, but here especially, and we're thankful for it. And may we realize that God ordained that such words should be recorded. And the truth is that the Word of God gives us a very wonderful and glorious pattern for your life and my life today. It's not just a history book, an account of many wonderful things that occurred, but it is there with a wonderful pattern for you and me today. And we should take heed to the words which are written. They're written by the grace of God for our good and for our favour. Well, let's perhaps start at the end. And that's the 42nd verse. And we read there the Lord's answer to Martha. Very simple, but very straightforward and necessary for us today. And let me just say this, the Word of God never becomes old-fashioned. The Word of God never goes out of date. There are always those glorious truths that apply to you and me today, many years after they occurred. And here we have a wonderful statement that is necessary for each one of us to consider, and for each one of us to recognize the relevance of it. And so Jesus spoke to Martha and told her very clearly, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, what was the good part that Mary had chosen? We're told what that was. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Again, that's a very simple statement, isn't it? But it's very clear here, it has two parts to it, really. First, that Mary came and sat at Jesus' feet. What was she there? She was in a very humble position. She didn't kind of stand up and expect the Lord to pay attention to her and to start speaking to her. No, she very humbly came and sat at Jesus' feet. She didn't just sit there and think, well, this is what I must do, I'm just come to sit here. You know, today we have many people who come to chapel and just sit. Just sit and think they must do that. And that's where they stop. Well, the word here is encouraging to us. We're told she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So all of us here this morning, we've come here, we've sat down. We may say, well, we're sitting at Jesus' feet. Great point is, have we come to hear the word that Jesus speaks? And can we look back in our life to those times when we have come and sat here? You look here this morning, if we added it all up, there's hundreds of occasions when you all come and sat here. How many times have you heard his word? Well, you have heard his word, but has it entered in? Or has it gone in one ear and out the other? And if you're asked today, well, just write down the words which have been good to you when you come and sat, as it were, before the Lord. What would you write? What would you write down? It's very important. It's not something which is irrelevant. You see, when you and I stand before the great judgment seat of Christ, we don't want to stand there and, when we're asked such a question, to be blank, have nothing to say. If I was to ask you this morning, what are you going to respond? Have you nothing to say? Have you never heard his word? You've heard it naturally. But the great question is, has that word entered in to our hearts? And if it has, be sure of this, it will have had an effect. It would have had a gracious effect. It would have had a glorious effect. And the effect will be that this word that you've heard will shine light into your heart. Light, perhaps, to show you something of your true self before a holy God. To realize you're not such a good person that you perhaps thought you were. You see, many people are satisfied with just adding up, really, the times they go to the services. My friends, in one sense, that's irrelevant. The great question is whether you and I have heard his word. When we've heard personally, and I often say, I've said it here, I'm sure, before, our religion is personal between our soul and God. God looks at our heart and he observes there whether his word has entered in. Whether it's entered in. And because of his word, it's been as light which shown to us ourselves. Our guilt, our disobedience, our sinful nature, our evil thoughts, our wrong words, our wrong actions. You see, the Spirit of God digs deep. Just brush over the surface. Digs into our hearts. And we're surprised what is dug up. Things that perhaps we've never really thought about. Many things perhaps we thought were okay. And we were living a life which was all right. When the Holy Word of God comes into our heart, it reveals to us the vast difference between a holy God and an unholy sinner that we are. There's a vast difference. What a blessing, therefore, if God doesn't leave us and pass us by My friends, many people today are passed by. Many people. My friends, has God passed you by? Has he passed me by? As I said, don't look around. Don't look at the person next door. The question is to you, and it is to me. You and I must be right with God. Don't worry about anyone else. Worry about your own soul, your own state. The evidence that God has loved you with an everlasting love. And my friends, if God has loved you, he will start by showing you you have a need. That you are an unworthy sinner. You've sinned perhaps against light and knowledge. You've been a willful sinner. A willful sinner. You've tried to hide it. But don't forget, God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outside. We can't see the heart. God looks at the heart. Doesn't worry about trying to make a good impression to people. Trying to think that people think well of you. The great question is, what God thinks of you. What God thinks of you. Well, here we have this very simple little account, isn't it? It's very short, isn't it? But we're told that there was just a certain village and a certain woman named Martha who received him into her house, the blessed and glorious Saviour. And that was good and wonderful. And we're just told she had a sister called Mary. And just a few words described her. Also, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Well, you and I must answer before God whether we've sat at Jesus' feet. And we can really think of that, as I've already hinted, as coming to chapel and sitting to hear what God the Lord will speak to us. I mean, if you've come this morning, you are here this morning, and let me ask a question. Have you prayed that God would bless your soul? Have you prayed that God would bless your soul? Or have you just come it Sunday morning and it's traditional for to go to chapel and you toddled off and you've arrived here and you've sat in your seat and you've read the chapter and you've gone through it? But have you prayed that God would indeed bless you? You know, it's very wonderful. We've sung together that very short account of Jabez in the Word of God. Many people don't even know it exists because it's tucked away in the Book of the Chronicles, and in the midst of a whole list of names, the writing stops and we have this short prayer which is very relevant and very important, and it's relevant for us in our lives to realise how a man of God, directed by God, prayed. And he didn't dictate to God what God should do for him. It's often, you know, you and I come with a want list. And we want God to bless us in a certain way. We think perhaps we need a certain revelation. We think perhaps we need a certain blessing. Well, very many times, it's only in our mind. And Jabez, blessed by God, prayed a very simple prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. No conditions. No conditions. And if you and I are convicted of our sin, and we stand guilty before a holy God, such a simple prayer will be very suitable Because we may not know, we probably won't know what to ask for. It's a good job we don't, because we'd often ask for wrong things. But you see, here, God's servant Jabez, under the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit, prayed, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Well, I wonder if you and I have prayed like that. Really, it's in the same way as that publican that we read of, don't we? The parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And the publican prayed such a simple prayer: "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Utterly dependent upon God's mercy. He realized he was guilty. As we read about him, we read he smote upon his breast and wouldn't dare even lift up his eyes, but prayed a real prayer. And again, that's good. And again, we can perhaps ask ourselves the question, have we really prayed that prayer? "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I believe every true believer, born-again believer, has prayed and does pray that prayer. It's not a prayer that becomes old-fashioned. It's not a prayer that you and I say, "Oh, we got past that, I needn't pray that anymore." You and I need to pray that, and we will pray it. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." So let's ask the question this morning: have you prayed that prayer? Have you prayed that prayer? "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Well, you won't pray it unless the Holy Spirit has convicted you of your sin. But if he has, and you stand guilty before God, and you know that you need mercy, you know that you must have mercy, such a prayer would be very appropriate and very gracious and very wonderful. And you should be encouraged, because if God has given you that prayer, and he's given you that prayer, it'll come from your heart. It won't just be a mere form of words. It'll be a real desire that you have, that God will have mercy upon you. Because you know, if God doesn't have mercy upon you, you'll perish in your sins. You'll sink into hell. There's no alternative. And therefore, such a prayer would be real. Well, we're told, aren't we? Jesus said in that parable, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." A prayer given by God justifies us. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The other man, the Pharisee, he was pleased with his life. He was pleased with his prayers. He thought he was a wonderful Christian, but he wasn't at all. He didn't have any true knowledge of the grace of God in his heart. And these things, you see, are very separating, and they're very dividing. But we should bless God for them, because you and I don't want to come to the end of our life and have been deceived all our life, to think that we're journeying on safely and we're going to get to glory and it's a wonderful prospect before us. You've never felt your sin, you've never known a need, and the devil's silencing you. And the devil's lulled you to sleep. How many people today have been lulled to sleep? Lulled to sleep. You know, the first person that I ever was asked to bury was a person who'd been very loyal in attendance in chapel every Sunday, every week evening service. But I have to tell you, there was no life in that person's soul. There was no life. They were satisfied with just an outward performance of religion, just like that Pharisee. They were satisfied with what they were doing. No life. Terrible, isn't it? terrible. I cannot think of a worse situation than ending up in hell and realizing that we'd sat under the gospel all our life and we'd never heard it. It had never touched our hearts. And to think then that you and I will spend eternity in that terrible condition. Well, bless God today. You and I are still on praying ground. We're still able to pray like Jabez. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Or like the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And will bring you then to that position just like Mary. Mary came and sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I hope this enters in to our hearts today. To hear his word. Because if the Lord Jesus speaks to you and me, it will produce a blessed outcome. It's a wonderful favour. It's a necessary favour to hear the word of Jesus. And so you see, Mary was commended for that. Mary was commended. Martha was, we believe, a good woman. We're told in another place that Jesus loved her. But here on this occasion, we're told what she was doing. She was cumbered about with much serving. It wasn't that she shouldn't serve. It was that it was taking up her life. And she was prioritizing things in a wrong way. We are not to prioritize things in a wrong way. We are to serve, but we're not to let that serving diminish the desire to come and hear his word. Hear his word. No. And so Martha was told, cumbered about with much serving. And she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve her alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You know, Martha was really being self-righteous, wasn't she? She thought, well, Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet. She's not doing anything. What she didn't realize was that Mary was listening to the words of Jesus. It's not a question of just coming and sitting. It's a question of hearing his word. That's the whole relevance of this statement here. Yes, Martha was really upset. We could say she was annoyed. She thought it wasn't fair. Here she was doing all these things. Well, Jesus put things in a right perspective. My friends, how important it is for you and me today to have things put in a right perspective. Because Jesus then came and spoke and said very, very clearly, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And that one thing is to hear the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus which condemn us. The words of Jesus which speak life into our hearts. The words of Jesus which are a comfort to us. The words of Jesus which are a strength to us. The words of Jesus which are promises to us with regard to our eternal state, so that we can rest in the words of the Saviour. These are not just mere things which are irrelevant. Many things today are irrelevant. In one sense, Martha's serving was irrelevant. The great question was to hear the words of Jesus. That they entered in to the heart and they have a gracious effect. But one thing is needful. Jesus didn't leave her in any doubt. And this morning, my friends, God speaks to us. And he tells us one thing is needful, to hear his voice, to hear his speaking to us in whatever way that may be, condemnation, correction, divine instruction, blessing, revealing himself to us as our altogether and sufficient Saviour. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus spoke there, didn't he, when he spoke to his disciples in the upper room. My friends, wonderful it is when Jesus still today speaks direct to our hearts. I am the way. Jesus is the way that you and I are to follow. And again, as I started, I said we have a wonderful book of directions. And Jesus has given us gracious and wonderful directions as to how we should live our life and how we should indeed follow him and follow his great and glorious example. You know, so many people seem to think it's optional. Well, it's not really optional. It's not really optional at all. And we're told very clearly in scriptures that we are to take up our cross and follow him. Take up our cross. God has a cross for you and me to take up. What it means is this. We're not to assume we'll just be able to roll through life without any difficulties. No, my friends, our life won't be easy. But we are to honour the Saviour. We are to testify of what the Saviour's done for us. We are to speak well of him. We're not to hide our light under a bushel. If God has shone light into our heart, and blessed be God if he has, we're not to hide it. We're not to think, well, of course, if I confess him, that's going to bring me into a lot of difficulty. Be sure of this, it will bring you into a lot of blessing. And my friends, we're not to deny the Saviour. We're not to despise him. No, we're not to despise the Saviour. And it's very easy to despise him. The devil's at your right hand, telling you, well, you needn't do this and you needn't walk that way. No. So-and-so hasn't done it. Don't worry about other people. You follow what Jesus has said. We are therefore to take up our cross and to follow him. My friends, there's wonderful blessing and wonderful rewards. I tell you what it is. Union with Christ. You're walking the road the Saviour walked. Union. What a favour it is. And in that path, just like those two on the Emmaus Road, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What were they doing? What were they doing? Were they speaking about the weather? Were they speaking about the football match or whatever else? They were speaking about the things of God. And that's good, isn't it? If you and I, as we journey on, they were on a journey. They were speaking about the things that happened concerning Jesus of Nazareth. It's good, therefore, in our day and age, if God enables us to follow him, to take up our cross, whatever that means, and to be yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, isn't it? That gracious and glorious statement that the Lord Jesus makes in the Matthew's Gospel, in the 11th chapter, he encourages us in those wonderful words, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden." And if God is working in your heart, you'll be heavy laden with your sin. And I will give you rest. No one else will be able to give you rest, because no one else knows where you are in your spiritual life. But God knows exactly. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You may have been restless. You may be struggling. No peace. Restless. "Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you." God's yoke. Not your yoke. God's yoke. To be joined to him. "And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And this is very glorious. These are the words of Jesus. They're not my words. They're the words of Jesus. And so we have here Mary, sitting at God's feet, the Saviour's feet, and hearing his word. And we're told that Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. My friends, when God gives grace, when God gives spiritual life, it is not anything that will be removed. Once in him forever. There is eternal safety. When Jesus speaks to our souls, it's the wonderful evidence that he, the great God, has loved us with everlasting love, loved us from eternity, loves us through eternity, forever. It's the wonderful evidence that it cannot and will not be taken away. And so what a wonderful favour for you and me today to recognise there is this one thing needful. My friends, if you haven't received it, if you haven't heard his word, oh, strive after it. Pray after it, just like Jabez. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Don't lay down any rules. Don't lay down any conditions. You can come to Jesus just as you are, because he knows about you. He knows what you're enduring. He knows what you're suffering. And he will bring about that way of escape. He will bring you into that time of gospel liberty. Gospel liberty is enjoyed as you and I are blessed with union with Christ. And Jesus tells us, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Yeah, the chains are broken, they're cast off. You're a new creature. You're born again by the Spirit of God. One thing is needful. Oh, my friends, let us rest in these truths and let they sink into our hearts, and may we have the ability to be able to testify by the grace of God, and it is by the grace of God that we choose that good part. Remember, the Lord Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And because he's chosen us, he's inclined us to seek after him. He's inclined us to pray unto him. He's inclined us to cast all our burden upon him. He's inclined us to come unto him. Oh, we have a great and glorious God. We have a great and glorious gospel. My friends, don't turn away from it and remember, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Your life and my life on this earth is to do God's will. To do God's will. It's not to do our will, so do God's will. Again, here we see Mary was doing the will of God. Martha wasn't very happy about it because she thought she ought to be helping her. But God said, one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, good part, good part to sit at his feet to hear his word. Well, if you and I have been blessed with this good part, this desire truly to come and hear his word, you know, this isn't something that you will just want once, because his word is life and peace. Yes, it's great and glorious to be found in Christ Jesus, to enjoy union and communion with him, just like those two on the way to Emmaus. And I think it's a lovely statement that they were able to declare. And as they said, did not our heart burn within us? The blessed movement of the Spirit of God implanting life within produces that wonderful favour of that burning within. The gracious and glorious humbling to think that God has looked upon me, an unworthy sinner that I am, that God has come and revealed himself to me as he hasn't done to the world. Oh, what a blessing it is. A time for rejoicing. A time for praise. You know the word of God tells us, praise belongeth to God. It is a joyful favour that you and I are able to do, to praise God. Oh, there's wonderful rewards. It's wonderful effect as you and I praise God. Praise does belong to God. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Don't hide. Don't turn your back upon the blessings of God. And don't belittle what God has done. The devil will want to say, well, you haven't got anything. You tell the devil, I have a little. And the little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. Don't despise your little hope. Bless God for it. And bless God if he's given you a desire to come and hear his word. Not just come and tick a box and say, well, I went to chapel this morning, I went to chapel this evening. But you come because God has touched your heart and produced a desire to hear his word. That's the work of the grace of God. And you can bless God for it. Because naturally, we don't have that desire. But blessed be God if he's given us that desire. And you can analyse that in your mind. You don't need other people to analyse it. Before God, you can analyse whether that's true. Whether perhaps there has been a time when you just come and sat at Jesus' feet. But now there's been a time when you sat at Jesus' feet and by his grace, not because of any virtue in yourself, because of his grace, his unmerited favour to you, utterly unworthy sinner, you've come and heard his voice. Well, rejoice today in this great simple truth recorded in the Word of God. One thing is needful. Don't forget it. Remember also Jabez's simple prayer, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." What a mercy it is that we have a gracious and glorious God who's given us a wonderful gospel and given us the whole counsel of his will. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Graham Cottingham next Lord's Day, and he will administer the Lord's Supper. Our closing hymn is number 396. 396. Could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, but when all the means we try prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. Hymn 396.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for ever. Amen.